Americans have been wrestling with some big political issues, and at times like this, some lean on the big ideas of famous political and economic thinkers.
Today we start a series of reports on big thinkers of the past whose acolytes hope they will shape the future. These are people whose ideas turn up constantly in the news, even if you don't always hear their names.
They are people like the economist Friedrich Hayek and John Maynard Keynes.
And then there's a writer of fiction whose admirers want to make her ideas real. Her name was Ayn Rand. NPR's Andrea Seabrook has the story.
Ayn Rand is best known for her novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. The ideas behind them, her philosophy, have sunk so deeply into our political thought, most people don't even recognize them as her ideas anymore. But Rand does have important admirers. Republican budget chairman Paul Ryan, former Fed chief Alan Greenspan, and recently House Speaker John Boehner channeled Rand when he said,
"Job creators in America basically are on strike."
Underpinning that statement is a philosophy Rand introduced through her best-selling novel, Atlas Shrugged. Ironically, when it was first released in the late 1950s, it wasn't exactly embraced.
Throughout the United States, small pockets of intellectuals have become involved in a new and unusual philosophy which would seem to strike at the very roots of our society.
CBS News journalist Mike Wallace interviewed Rand years before he first appeared on the program 60 Minutes. It's 1959. Wallace is in a chair on a stark set, holding his notes and a cigarette. Across from him, Ayn Rand, a native Russian, small and sharp, a little nervous. Wallace asks her to outline the ideas she calls objectivism. It is, she says, a system of morality.
A morality not based on faith.
On faith.
Not on faith, not on arbitrary whim, not on emotion, not on arbitrary edict, but on reason. A morality which can be proved by means of logic.
Rand wholly rejected religion. She called it a weakness, even a parasite, one that convinces people their purpose is to work for the betterment of others. In fact, she says, for man, the truth is just the opposite.
That his highest moral purpose is the achievement of his own happiness.
The achievement of his own happiness. Wallace asks her, how does this apply to politics, to government? And this is interesting. Listen to the journalist's assumptions about the America of that time. Eisenhower in the White House, Leave It to Beaver on the TV.
Now, one of the principal achievements of this country in the past 20 years particularly, I think most people agree, is the gradual growth of social protective legislation based on the principle that we are our brother's keepers.
Welfare, social security, fair labor standards, public health programs.
How do you feel about the political trends of the United States?
I feel that it is terrible, that you see destruction all around you, and that you are moving toward disaster until and unless all those welfare state conceptions have been reversed and rejected.
These programs are destroying individual liberties, Rand says, especially the freedom of producers, entrepreneurs, businessmen. The government has no right to take their property, she says.
I imagine that you're talking now about taxes.
Yes, I am.
And you believe that there should be no right by the government to tax. You believe that there should be no such thing as unemployment compensation, regulation during times of stress.
That's right. I'm opposed to all forms of control. I am for an absolute, laissez-faire, free, unregulated economy.
By now, these ideas should sound familiar. At the time, Rand's novels were almost universally panned. Her ideas were called the height of immorality. Her followers, the objectivists, were seen as a radical sideshow in politics and economics. But now?
Every time you submit to a regulation, it diminishes your liberty.
Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King loves Rand, he says, speaking just off the House floor a few weeks ago. Freshman Republican Congressman Mick Mulvaney of South Carolina has read Rand's novels 6 or 8 times each.
It's almost frightening how accurate a prediction of the future the book was.
In Atlas Shrugged, what Rand considered her masterpiece, the wealthy corporate producers are the engines of the American economy, but they're constantly stymied by invasive legislation and terrible government regulations. That's exactly what Florida Republican Alan West sees happening in America today. And he says it's very dangerous.
Because if you start to demonize a certain segment of your society that are the producers, eventually they'll stop.
That's just what they did in Rand's novel, Atlas Shrugged. Her wealthy heroes go into hiding, leaving behind the welfare class, what Rand calls the moochers, and the government, or the looters. Put in today's language,
job creators in America basically are on strike.
This idea, House Speaker Boehner put forth in a recent speech before the Economic Club of Washington, D.C., could have come straight from Atlas Shrugged. Businesses, Boehner said, need to be set free. Instead,
they've been antagonized by a government that favors bureaucrats over market-based solutions. They've been demoralized by a government that causes despair when what we really need is to provide reassurance and inspire hope in our economy.
Boehner uses the language of slavery when he says we need to liberate our economy from the shackles of Washington. Back in 1959, interviewer Mike Wallace asked Rand, if her ideas are so right, why hadn't Americans, in their democracy, voted to protect the all-important producer class? Her answer? Because the people hadn't been given that choice.
Both parties today are for socialism, in effect, for controls, and there is no party. There are no voices to offer an actual pro-capitalist, laissez-faire, economic freedom and individualism. That is what this country needs today.
If Ayn Rand were alive today, she might be pleased to see that more and more Americans do have that choice, and her ideas are alive and well represented in the United States Capitol. Andrea Seabrook, NPR News, Washington.
And tomorrow our series continues with a look at the Austrian economist Friedrich Hayek, whose free market advocacy influences the outlook of many conservatives today.
And he has cachet. Ron Paul and Rick Perry have mentioned him on the campaign trail. Glenn Beck did a one-hour special devoted to Hayek's book, The Road to Serfdom.
And freshman Republican Congressman Justin Amash from Michigan has a huge portrait of Hayek hung in his office.
And then I also have the signature of F.A. Hayek. And I have that framed.
And we will have more on Hayek tomorrow on Morning Edition.